I was born bold.
Powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today.
Melbourne Airport Parking. Zero cost drive-up parking for all essential travel until June 30.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Wednesday, May 20 it is. A little wet, a little slippery out there on the roads. Be careful. Got a big show for McCafe, our official coffee partner today. We're going to speak to Dom Tyson from the Kangaroos, and we'll head up to Queensland with Brisbane star Harris Andrews as well. Your calls, 1300 736 736. Your text, 0433 98 11 16. They're always welcome for Melbourne Airport Parking. Templestowe is our Be Good to Your Hood suburb today. Down the rabbit hole, Wisp is the place to be seen, according to our texter in Templestowe. Sensational coffee and food. So head down there. Not sure Harris Andrews would be heading down there. He'd be nicely ensconced up there on the in the beautiful sunshine of Brisbane, and he's been good enough to join us this morning. Welcome, Harris.
Morning, fellas. How are we?
We're going very well, mate. We're excited about the prospect of footy returning. I would imagine you'd be the same, and getting back with your mates, it must feel like it's not too far away.
Yeah, it's a really good feeling to, I guess, have a date and set that, you know, when we'll be back playing footy again. And, you know, to get back with all our teammates again on Monday was really exciting, even though it is in groups of eight. It's just nice to be around, you know, the guys that you spend pretty much a whole year with every year. So, yeah, it's been awesome to get back into the club and get into a bit of training. And, yeah, we're all just really excited about, you know, the next couple of weeks and getting back to playing footy games.
What was Fags' message early? Like, I mean, it is only a short build-up to that round one. You've got to hit the ground running. You've dropped your first game. What was the message he gave to you in when you got together for the first time?
Yeah, well, we sat down yesterday and we just sort of set out a bit of a plan of how we were going to attack this four-week block. And obviously, as you said, we don't have a lot of time. So I guess this week sort of just gauging where everyone's at with their fitness and that sort of thing. And going off the last couple of days, it appears that everyone's in pretty good shape. And then, yeah, I guess the next couple of weeks is just going to involve a bit more high-intensity stuff and getting back into some match play, I guess, intra-club game sort of thing. So, yeah, obviously, once we get the allowance for full contact training. But, yeah, we've sort of just settled in that way and back to doing weights in the gym. And, yeah, it's really exciting for everyone.
Hey, Harris, what's your ideal preparation, do you think? Do you need, you know, when you did pre-season and you came out of that pre-season block and you started doing the practice game series, how many games did you feel like you needed to play before you were match fit again?
Oh, it's always a tough one. I mean, there's such a difference in pre-season of, you know, running laps around the oval, and then that first quarter of the practice match when you really start to blow the cobwebs out and you're hurting a bit. But I don't know, I guess the normal schedule of two pre-season games and then the amount of inter-club minutes that we play during a normal pre-season is pretty high. So that's usually a pretty good setup for us. But obviously with the four-week block that we have, I can speak for myself that, you know, I've been training pretty hard over the 8 week period of isolation, and you know, I feel like if we get some good minutes in of intra clubs over the next couple of weeks, I'll be ready to go. So, yeah, it's a little bit different because I've obviously never really experienced it before. But you know, I was fortunate enough to have a really strong pre-season, and the body's feeling really good. So you know, I feel like that's set me up pretty well base wise, and yeah, I'm just keen to get out there on the field and start playing games.
Talking to Harris Andrews, one of the best young defenders in the competition from the Brisbane Lions. I mean, no one's ever experienced it before, so we're all in uncharted territory. How did you survive isolation? Was it comfortable for you, or did you find it really difficult and uncomfortable?
No, it wasn't too bad. I guess, you know, there was a lot of people worse off than I was. Fortunately, I was able to, you know, we were able to keep our jobs, and there was a lot of people even within our footy club that, you know, had to go and look for alternate jobs and that sort of thing. So, obviously, felt for them. And from a personal standpoint, I was doing some uni work and, you know, just trying to keep really fit. We were fortunate enough to take some of the weights from the gym, put them in one of the boys' garages. So, we were able to obviously get some good weight lifting training in, and then we're running pretty hard. So, yeah, it felt like, you know, the first couple of weeks of the isolation period was, you know, a bit strange, and the fact that we weren't able to go into the club like we had all pre-season, and then You know, it's sort of time flew by, I guess, a little bit. And now that we're back, we're pretty stoked.
Hey, you're a big watch team, the Lions. It was a fairy tale run through to the finals. You weren't able to snag one, just fell short on a couple of occasions. But over the summer, a lot of the talk was about, you know, that Melbourne had experienced that and then they fell off the perch in a big way and that you guys were ready for that. So to that point, how disappointing was that 28-point loss to Hawthorn?
Yeah, it was obviously frustrating to, you know, put in a whole pre-season of work and then come out and probably not play the type of footy that we wanted to play. We haven't really had a huge opportunity to review the game from a team standpoint because we obviously all got pushed away from the club the Monday after we played. So Fags has made a really conservative effort, I guess, to take some learnings from that. And I think we'll be sitting down later this week, maybe even early next week when we can get the group back together and just reviewing that game and seeing, you know, what we can improve on and what makes us as a real, I guess, a really strong football team. And, you know, there's been a lot of comparisons to the Demons from a couple of years ago or whatever, but, you know, we feel like we've put some really strong things in place and we're confident that, you know, if we just worry about what we can control and that's trying to improve every day, that, you know, things will look after itself.
Do you think you've got a little advantage? I mean, this whole competition's about seeking the edge and trying to find a percent here or a percent there. The fact that you guys are staying up there on the Gold Coast and you've got teams that are going to travel up there and perhaps there's the chance to knock over a few of those games up there without travelling. Do you see that as a little opportunity?
Yeah, I guess obviously the fact that we might get the opportunity to play the first couple of weeks in Queensland is a pretty exciting prospect for us. And, you know, I guess if we can take a little bit of advantage from that, but at the same time, it's not like we're playing in front of big crowds or, you know, an environment like that's going to be sort of an empty stadium. So at the end of the day, it's, you know, the stadium's got glass and goalposts and, yeah, we'll try and take out of it what we can, but I don't think it's too big of an advantage.
Hey, Harris, do you think Lee Matthews, in the last 24 hours, one of the great thinkers of the game, one of the legends of the game, I know you would have come in contact with Lee from time to time, he said that maybe there'll be the return of the old coaching rev-up pre-game because there's not going to be an atmosphere out there when the players run out to play. Do you think this is going to be necessary to get the players into the right minds or the right space mentally pre-game, or do you think that that part of the game will stay the same as it's been?
Oh, I think it'll stay the same way it has been. I think, you know, as footballers, we're pretty proud and motivated and we obviously want to perform well. So you set yourself up during the week, obviously with all the meetings and that sort of thing, to go into the game with a plan. And, you know, I feel like because we haven't played for 8 weeks, we're all going to be extremely motivated to go out and play. So, yeah, I'd be surprised, obviously, if that sort of comes back. But, you know, at the same time, it'd be awesome to see Fags get up and about and get the lads going.
Has he given you a good one? Has Fags given you a good bake?
Yeah, a couple of times early on in our journey, I guess back in 2018, he was pretty up and about. But, yeah, he's always really calm, I guess, around the group and he knows the right situations to hit the group when he needs to.
Did you know, when you did play that game, that one game earlier this year, was it really noticeable that there wasn't the crowd there, or are you so zeroed in on what you're doing that you didn't even notice it?
I'd say pre-game, when you're doing the warm-up, and you sort of, usually there's a few fans that get there early to make sure that you know, warm up well or whatever, and it was really quiet and eerie during that period when you sort of, I guess you're concentrating on what your skills are doing, but you're sort of always looking at the crowd and sort of see what's going on there. But then obviously during the game, when you're focusing on what's going on around you and talking to your teammates and that sort of thing, you don't really quite notice it as much as you would, I guess, pre-game. So it was a little bit different and eerie, and particularly at the MCG when the wind's swirling and you feel like you can hear people whispering at the other end of the ground, just the way the wind goes. It was a little bit different, but as I said, I guess it's the new norm and something that those players we're going to have to get used to.
The wind's your best friend as a defender, though, isn't it? Don't you defenders love those wet, windy days?
Yeah, nice wet, windy day is always good waking up to one of those in Melbourne, that's for sure.
Are you a golfer, Harris?
I'm not really. I've sort of tried to get onto it the last couple of months, but obviously now with the new rules put in place, a few of the boys up here are pretty flat that they can't get out on the course as much as they'd like to.
Who's been fleeced? Because you have been able to play up there in Queensland throughout this. Who's been fleecing everyone up there? Who's the golf bandit?
Dane Zorko and Daniel Rich, probably the two best golf players, I'd say, at the club. They're out there as much as they can, obviously, when they could play. And, you know, they're pretty flat that the opportunity's been taken away. But I guess as players, we understand that, you know, we're fortunate enough to have the privilege to play footy, and we're pretty excited by that.
And who's the worst?
Oh, I don't want to throw him under the bus, but my good mate Darcy Gardner, and probably myself in that regard. I'm no good, but it's always good to get out and have a hit and, you know, see the way people react after a bad shot or whatever.
Hey, it's good to talk to you, mate. We've been back, we had a week off, but we've worked through it, and the footy's been a big hole, so to get it back is going to be fantastic, and we look forward to it, and I think the Lions are going to have another great year, so good luck.
Awesome. Thanks very much for having me, fellas.
Good on you, Harris.
Harris Andrews there. Cool. Well, he can't go into the call of the year, Wispy, but he'd like to. It's for Toyota. New car time at Search Toyota Value is a very good prize to win. We might take some calls, but we need to... actually, where have you got Brisbane in your... By the way, just before I do.
Where have I got them? I've got them in the top eight. I don't know that they're going to be any better than what they were last year, though. I think they'll be bottom of the top eight. What about you?
Yes, I have them playing finals, but so probably similar place to you. Similar place to you.
I got some concerns and some question marks still about their front half, their capacity to be able to kick the score. And I think they get the ball there often enough, but I'm just not sure that when it gets there, they've got the cattle just yet.
Big reliance on Charlie Cameron, who's... good player to rely on, but it is a healthy reliance on that. We'll be back with your calls after this. Great to have you with us, Tim. The bill was $30, less the $5 discount, which is $25. A dollar return to you, me and Kane. So we paid $9 and $2 a tip to the waitress. There's your $25 bill. $25.
That's right.
Well, how come you didn't say that?
I was waiting for you to give the answer.
Jeez. All right. North Melbourne, very interesting team. I can't wait to get this competition back up and going, because Reece Shaw's impact on that footy club late last year was profound, and they were in a position in that round one game. What did happen in that round one game? Let's ask Dom Tyson.
They came back against the Saints,
which rubber stamps the Reece Shaw influence. And Dommy Tyson joined us on the line. Welcome, Dom.
Hey, Gaz. Hey, Tim. Thanks for having me, boys.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, it was a good win.
Yeah, some belief and faith, and the Reece Shaw impact's been pretty profound.
Yeah, he has. He's been great, Shaw. He's got a really good ability to connect to all players, young and old, and sort of freshened up the place. Even in a year that I've been there, you certainly notice his impact significantly.
What's it been like getting back out there and sort of rejoining the group?
Yeah, it's been pretty seamless, to be honest. We sort of... that first session back off an off-season, that's what that felt like Monday. And obviously there's a few differences with the protocols and the assessments that you do on the way in and segregated lockers. So, I think everyone's just feeling it out for a little while. But in terms of training, it was sort of okay Monday. We were able to do a fair bit, even though it was no contact in small groups. You didn't get much rest between drills, and it was all pretty efficient. So... the gym didn't have much equipment come back yet. There's boys, I think, still hoarding a bit of stuff in their home gym setup. So it was not much of a weight session, but we'll try and get that rolling by the end of this week.
Well, given they've all had to take a pay cut, some of them might have melted it down and sold it for scrap metal, Dom, do you think?
Correct, Tim. I reckon there's a few gym coaches a bit worried about the eBay, what might be popping up there soon. But it's funny, the stuff that they took, some of the boys haven't returned. You couldn't use it in ice. You know, you'd need weight plates with it. I don't know what they're sitting on. So there's belts to the squat rack. Without the squat, it's pretty useless. But anyway.
Hey, Dom, is 3.5 weeks enough time to get yourselves AFL ready to play again? I was interested last night. We had a story on Channel 7 News. Carlton's high-performance director, Andrew Russell, was saying that he's not worried about the soft tissue injuries. He's more worried about the collision impact and players being able to get used to that again and then being able to recover from that. What are you most concerned about?
Yeah, it's a good point. I guess each club would be a little bit different considering where they were maybe with injuries heading into that break. But I think 3.5 is perfect, to be honest. We'll get this week in and that will get your sort of change of direction and speed back in the legs. And then 2 weeks of contact will be okay. I mean, ideally it's a little bit longer, but we'll just have to make do. And even this week, I don't think we're even allowed to use bump bags or anything like that. So I think we'll just have to smash out heaps of that contact and just try and adjust the body to be able to absorb the hits.
And everyone's done this a little bit differently. We've spoken to a number of clubs already in terms of how they've divvied up the players into these groups of eight. What has North Melbourne done?
Yeah, we're in sort of line groups. So I'm part of the midfield group of seven there is in my group. And yeah, we're sort of in and out in about 2.5 hours. And then there's like a mid-forward group, a key backs group, sort of mid-forwards, small forwards, sorry, and key forwards. So it's, I think we've got and a development group and I think even a rehab group. So there might be 5 or 6 different groups that roll through the club on a given day.
Jared Rivers and Brendan Whitecross haven't come back to the club, which, you know, is part of the real sad part of this whole thing is that good men are struggling to keep their jobs. But what does it mean in terms of restructuring roles for other coaches? Will you still have your strong line coaching set up?
Yeah, I think we will. We haven't been fully exposed to full team meetings yet. Obviously just the way that the situation played out that I think the club had to sort of, you know, squeeze guys in and some guys missed out. And I think we've got maybe Heath Scotland stepped up into a backs role. We've got Gab Brown, who's been around for a long time, and he's terrific. Gab, he's sort of stepped up into development and assisting backs. And then forwards, I think Brent Harvey steps up a bit there. And I'm going to get one wrong, so I won't throw one out there. I've forgotten who the other forwards coach is. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just a matter of being flexible and being able to expand your roles. I mean, everyone's got to do a bit more heavy lifting.
That's right, yeah. So, it'll be interesting to see. I think they've even mentioned you're only allowed 5 or 6 in the coach's box. So I think some players might be pretty happy with less coaches, to be honest. But, it'll obviously be just everything's going to be different and it'll be about adapting and being flexible, as you said,
Gaz. And, Dom, you're a keen golfer. You haven't been able to play golf during this isolation period, obviously. Nobody's been able to play golf. Have you heard about this new golf course down on the peninsula, Buckled Rib? Has news of that met you or not at this point in time?
No. Should I have heard of it, Tim? I'm missing something here.
Well, Gary, you've got your own clothing company, your golf clothing company, which is Clutch & Co., and it's a very high end. It needs to be put into the clubhouse of this new golf course down there in the peninsula.
That's what I was getting to.
I'll have a look into it. Yeah, well, I'm not high end, Gaz. I'm more sort of versatile and affordable, to be honest. I thought everything else was too expensive in the golfing market, so that's where I've entered.
Nice, very nice. Where can we get Clutch & Co.? Because I have got one. I've got one piece, which you kindly furnished me with, but where do we get it?
It's online at clutchandco.com.au, and then I'm sort of starting to branch out into a few little wholesale deals, so there might be a few that physically pop up in some stores, but that was the one positive, I guess, of the lockdown period. You could put some time into some things you wouldn't otherwise had the opportunity to do.
Because your old man is he owns Deodora basically throughout the Australia and probably almost around the world now. So it's running through your veins.
It's been good, yeah. Dad's obviously mentored me through it, and I've sort of got my stock sitting out at his warehouse, which I don't think he charges me the full rate there, which is a nice little benefit.
And yesterday we spoke about this casual intimacy topic. I don't know whether it was discussed much at North Melbourne training, but I think your mother, Fiona, would have had a say in this. How does that affect you, or does it affect you? I'm not sure.
No, I'm shacked up, so I'm okay. But there was certainly a bit of panic going on yesterday when that news was leaking. But I'm sure it'll be okay in the end, I think.
Are there many unattached players there at North Melbourne?
Well, is that so? Many other attached players?
Unattached.
Oh, unattached. Haven't done a stock take of that. We're actually a pretty mature group. We've got a lot of young kids. Goldie's got 4. Cunners has got 2. He goes, yeah, we're pretty senior there with a lot of little kids. But I'm sure, there'd be a couple of young guys.
Yeah.
And what about you, like you physically, Dommy, as we let you go and we head towards our news, you had some injury issues last year after crossing over from Melbourne. How are you physically and what's your hopes and expectations?
Yeah, struggled a bit last year. Obviously, I just couldn't really get any consistency with my body. So feeling good now, trying to make sure I just stay on top of things and put my hand up for selection and be ready to go. So that's the goal at the moment for me.
Good to talk to you, mate. We appreciate you jumping on this morning.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Dom Tyson, Clutch yep. and Co. is his golf brand gear. So help out. We're all about small business. So CLUTCH and Co. Clutch and Co.
We are. And this question's come up too. And I'll get a response from you after the break. Do you ever pay for anything, Gary? That's the question that's been posed on the Speckle text this morning. You can respond to that after the break.
Okay. Caller of the year for Toyota New Car Time. Search Toyota Value Advantage.
The SEN Breakfast Quiz. For Imar Insurance, the tradies mate. Call 13-IMAR or visit imar.com.au.
They're the tradies mate. That's Imar.
A Priest's Wine Twin Pack, valued at $40. Priest Generations Wine Club from Mitchelton Estate. Beautiful winery there. It's crafting the best wines from Victoria's best regions. Whisper you and Paolo and Tony's Sea Cafe, 130 James Street, Templestowe. Get down there. Daily made in-house sausage rolls, pies, pasties, spinach pie, and the best coffee in Templestowe. We've been good to our hood today in Templestowe. Over to you, Wisp.
Good morning to... Who have we got on the line this morning? I can't actually see...
Ben from Rip and Lee.
So why is he not up on my screen then?
Screen? Wispy, but anyway,
what's going on there with the screens? Hey, which Gold Coast Titans player in the NRL has been recently caught up in an anti-vaccination scandal? Ben, is it A, Bryce Cartwright, B, Kevin Proctor, or C, Jai Arrow? And I'll give you a little clue here. Bonanza. There you go, Ben.
I'll go with A, please.
A, Bryce Cartwright. And the clue was in relation to what, Gary?
Hoss Cartwright.
Bonanza. You and I are the same.
Panthers.
Question two.
One of
Panthers' favorites. Panthers would have loved that, wouldn't he?
Loved it.
Was that one of his favourite
one
westerns?
One of his favourites.
Who's his favourite cow? Who's Panthers' favourite cowboy of all time?
The Duke.
Ah, yes, everybody's favourite.
John Wayne.
Question two.
I'm not.
Can you give us a little bit of Duke?
You. I'm what is not it? Gonna hit you.
Which Scottish
Him and John Farnham are going to do a catch-up on Zoom.
They've both got a slightly Irish accent.
Can't get on with it.
Which Scottish Premier League side was yesterday announced champions for the 9th consecutive year, Ben?
Oh, I've got no chance.
Well, have a guess, no. Benny.
Gee whiz.
Glasgow.
No, sorry, it's the other one. We've got another Ben in WA. Very early morning for you, Ben. Good morning.
Oh. Good morning.
You there, Ben? Yeah, how are you?
I am. Very good, thank you.
What are you good doing up, Ben?
I don't know the answer to this, which is devastating, but it's
have
good to listen to you early instead of the podcast.
What are you doing Benny. Up so early, Benny?
We're about to go fishing, but no one else is up, so the Jewies probably are going to go missing, but I listened to your podcast for 2 years. I've been listening when I'm at work, and I thought I'd listen to it live. So you're killing it, guys. We love you.
Hey,
Ben,
is it
just because Gary and I are on the other side of the microphone here? Is it a different experience for you when it's live like this?
Well, there's not as many ads, that's for sure. But,
that's enough from you, Ben. Hey, I'll tell you what.
Yes,
we can. I'm going to give you the answer to question two because I like the sound of Ben and the fact that he's called in from WA. Celtic is the answer for question two. Okay, let's keep going now, Ben, with
that
you.
That was my next guess.
I knew it was going to be. Which former Western Bulldogs premiership star featured on Hamish McLaughlin's The Last Time I Cried this week?
It wouldn't be Bob Murphy. Boyd?
Yes, Tommy Boyd. Well done.
Ben.
Question four. Which player?
That was an absolute guess, by the way.
No, that was a great get. Question
have to
four.
Go podcast that.
Question four. Just hold your fire there, Benny.
You won't make it to the podcast if you keep interrupting the whisk, Benny.
Which player won the 2019 Coleman Medal?
2019, Jeremy Cameron.
Yes, well done. I tell you what, you may have some wine to whack in your fishing tackle.
It's a long way
to
send our wine, Whisper. I'm not sure we've got
the
sort of
it's going to cost a lot, right?
Okay, Ben, question five. What proposed unique feature will Channel 7, Channel 7 trial at the grounds when, or on the broadcast, when AFL resumes?
It'll be the cheering after a goal.
I'm going to pay that, Gary.
And in the process, Tim, you've sent the business broke and you've upset a whole host of callers. But there you go. Hey, Benny, well done, mate. On your way out to fishing, got yourself a Priest Wine Twin Pack Vet of $40 from Mitchelton Estate. So thanks for calling in and thanks for listening over the years.
And thank you for making my days better with the podcast.
Good on you, Ben. What that, sort of bait you going to use this morning?
Stump jumper?
To be honest, I'm not the fisherman. These guys are, so...
Right, well, just whack on a little stump jumper and you stump might be able to jumper. Get something. So, Rick, let us know tomorrow how you go on your fishing.
Stump jumper. I wouldn't go with the stump jumper, Ben. Just nice, big, fat, juicy worm.
Good on you, Ben. Hey, lots of messages. I'd like to recommend our Templestowe gardening business. Oh, goodness gracious, I just lost it. There's that many messages coming through. Ready, Set, Mow, providing high-quality lawn care to the most loved gardens in Templestowe. So there you go. Lots of people texting through some great places in Templestowe, so congratulations there. I'm not a glamper, whoever said that. I'm a hardcore camper when I go out. I don't glamp at all. Don't you know what a stump jumper is, Wisp?
No, tell me.
Well, it's a sort of fly you put on your when you fish, so it gets over the stumps, I assume.
A special fly?
I assume it's like a lure. And when you go fishing, it instead of getting hooked on the stumps, it jumps them. It's a stump jumper.
Do you make your own flies?
No, I haven't. I can't. I couldn't even bullshizer my way through that.
Do you catch them, do you?
I remember Rexy Hunt told me one day to use a stump jumper, and I've always remembered it. Hey, the quiz is for IMAR Insurance, the Tradies Mate. Call 13 IMAR. Visit imar.com.au. People, send through what sort of is your favourite lure. From a fishing point of view, do you fish down there on the McAllister?
Occasionally, yeah, occasionally.
What do you use?
A fishing rod, depends on what I'm after. If I'm after trout, I'll go with a little something. If I'm after a redfin, I'll go with something else. And if I'm after some European carp, I'll just go there and tell the blokes who are down the front there fishing to piss off. That's what I'll do.
That's a bit fruity for this time of the morning.
Oh, I know, Gary, but they're very messy when they go down the front there. And fish, they leave all their tackle and everything lying around.
All right. Our channel is running today, yes. Getting lots of people reminding us of our horse that we have embraced here. Our channel is in race 5 at Randwick. It's number 7 today. It's a very short favourite.
You're getting a lot of feedback.
What
about
on? Your stump jumper?
About your fishing knowledge.
Yes. I'm happy to take
not
calls.
Not all of it's good.
No, I don't care. I will take calls on fishing after the break. 1-300-736. It might even get Rexy on. 1-300-736-736 is the open line number. Your calls after this. Thanks for your text messages. We get a window through to the soul of our listening audience. They agree with me that the Wisp's been much sharper today, and they think a lack of breakfast dish clattering in the background is one of the reasons. I can't disagree. John's from Taylor's Lakes. G'day, Johnny.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Good, thanks,
John. Good, John.
I coached the junior team for 3 years. I'm not saying it's not about the winning. We won 70 out of 74 games. We won 72 and we drew 2. We had 3 championships in that time. And what I always said to the little kids was, you don't have to say anything. Just walk with your head held high. But what you need to do is to be a good sportsman is just be humble. And I've looked at most top sportsmen and they are very humble people and they don't need to say anything. They just have their held up high. They're confident in their own skin, and they're very, very humble. So I reckon being humble is a secret, mate.
Spot on, Johnny. Good words from you as a junior coach, and that's a lesson they all should take. Rod's in Adelaide. G'day, Rod.
G'day, Gaz.
Fire away, my friend.
How you go?
Yes, we got you.
Yeah, mate, I think sportsmanship and respect go together. And with coaching, what I try to do with junior coaching is teach kids one reaction to a free kick, and it's just to work hard on the mark. So it just shows that we respect the umpire and respect the opposition. So they're not, don't have any other reaction. We need to teach that from a young age. And then after a game, I think most teams have like a bag of snakes or a bag of lollies. So we get our team captain to have a second bag and take it over to the opposition coach and shake his hand. We can't do that now. And just say thanks for the game today, and this is our sort of offer to you guys, which they see as an offering of sportsmanship and respect.
See, I love that. I do too. Junior level. It's far too confrontational, junior, up to a point. Junior sports, it's far too us against them mentality. We've got to change that mindset. We're all in it together. We want to help both teams get through this and have a great, enjoyable experience. So great example, Rod. Well done to you.